Hello, and welcome to Sound Thinking for March 2018. My name is Ian Toner, and I'm Chief Investment Officer of Verus. You've all heard before, but our compliance department does always insist on a mandatory introduction. Past performance is no guarantee of future results, and this podcast is for informational purposes for institutions and their representatives, not for the retail market or for retail investors. In fact, nothing that I'm going to be talking about today is investment, legal, accounting, tax advice, or a recommendation to buy or sell a security, or to pursue a particular investment strategy. So with that out the way, let me tell you a little bit about what's in the piece we've just released called Balancing Paranoia and Complacency. It's a fairly simple idea. Embedded in the way we think about the world are two key instincts. The first is the paranoid instinct, the thing that lets us remember that if things are going well, they're bound to start going badly soon. That's the paranoid instinct. That's got lots of important elements to it, and it makes us consistently look for the thing that's going to sideswipe us. That's important in investments. The second instinct, though, that balances that is the complacent instinct. And that's the instinct that tells us that things are going well now, they're going to keep going well in the future. The best predictor for tomorrow's price of a security is today's price of the security. The best prediction of the direction of movement of a market is the direction in which that market has been moving already. The momentum idea. So, and that's, by the way, a very good way of thinking about the world most of the time. Most things don't change suddenly. If you hide under the table or ran to the storm shelter every time you see a grey cloud on the horizon, you'd spend your entire time in the basement because there's not that many tornadoes or hurricanes. So you have this balance, the paranoid and the complacent, and they work together. And so often in investment, the important thing to do is to understand where there's an imbalance between those two competing instincts. Successful investment is identifying most of the time that those things are in balance and finding where they fall out of balance and then identifying whether that causes a problem in your portfolios. And today, I think there is one of those situations. And it's in the space of the continuing length of this economic expansion that we've been seeing. In other words, how much longer can we keep growing? Well, the underlying problem, I think, is an over-focus on the paranoid instinct. It's this idea that there's a calendrical limit to an economic expansion. In other words, that there's a certain number of months that an economy can expand and then, boop, it has to come to an end. Well, I don't think that's correct. We have to remember that economies exist because of people performing economic activity, turning up, adding value, doing jobs, creating goods and services that other people use, and that feeds on itself, particularly in the kind of environment we're in today, which is this global coordinated economic growth story. And by the way, global coordinated economic growth at a level that's not extreme. Economies die because something goes wrong. They don't just die because of the clock. And in fact, in the document we've just released, we have a chart which shows the length of expansions in a variety of different places and compares the current expansion in the United States to that, and shows that there's plenty of times where expansions have lasted months or years longer than that in the US. Now, what matters is, do things go wrong? Do you get overheating? Do you get imbalances that cause things to go wrong, that cause the wheels to fall off? And we have a chart that looks at the length of its expansions compared to the depth of the expansion. In other words, how much has been created in terms of new value vis-a-vis how long the expansion's been continuing. When you bring that second dimension in, it seems pretty clear that while this has been a long expansion, it's been a shallow expansion. We've often described that as the meh economy. And while that continues to be the case, probably there's still more wood to chop, still more growth to happen, and so on and so forth. And when you look back at GDP over time, you see that the growth is relatively towards the bottom middle of the historical range. You see there's still slack in the labour economy, although on some statistics it looks tight. There's still plenty of discouraged workers and workers in part-time that want full-time work and so on and so forth. There's still scope for productivity enhancement. There's still scope for people getting more work. And so what that means is that the concerns about wage price inflation, consumer price inflation, general inflation pressure in the economy, while at some point it will tick up and that may cause the Fed to pull the punch bowl away, that's not a problem that's likely to affect us right now. So there isn't a calendrical alarm that's going to go off to say just because it's been going for a certain number of months, it's immediately going to stop. The pressures on inflation and wages and employment don't seem to be there immediately, although we're keeping a watchful eye out for it. And there's no signs from the high yield and other markets yet saying that there's real underlying concern built into the markets. So worrying that the economic expansion will come to an end because of those reasons strikes us as over-focus on that paranoid instinct. Does that mean there's not going to be more downturns in the equity market? No, because we know that there are regular 5 and 10% downticks in the equity market, even in good times, and you're paid to run the risk of those downticks. So this piece doesn't say that everything's always going to be awesome, because even in good times, there's going to be road bumps. What it does say is it says there's nothing we see today that tells us to back away from the table. We've been leaning into risk for quite some time. We've been comfortable with taking that risk for quite some time, and we're going to remain comfortable. We're going to try and avoid the siren sound of that paranoid instinct on our shoulder that's talking a little more loudly than we think is justified today, to continue to pick up this global coordinated economic expansion premium that we think still exists in markets. We're watching for the problems, we're waiting for the problems, but we're not anticipating big problems quite yet. The piece is on our website. Your consultant will be sending it out if you're a client or a contact of Verus. And if you've got any questions, please reach out and ask them, because we love to get feedback and we love to get comments and we love to get questions from people. Until the next time, thank you very much indeed for listening, and I hope you enjoy the piece.